the encounter between Jesus and the leper is a very beautiful one. This is very early in Jesus' public ministry, but already the leper has got it. He's already heard that Jesus has healing power. He knows that he can do it, and he makes his way to Jesus. He comes to him, he kneels down, he begs him, and he makes this beautiful prayer: if you wish, you can make me clean. You can see how humble this man is. He doesn't even ask. He says, if you want to. He presents himself with great openness to what God wants. Yes, it's clear what the leper wants, but it's as if he's deferring to Jesus. This is what I want, but if you want to, you can make me clean. And it has immediate effect. It says here, moved with pity, Jesus stretched out his hand, touched the leper, and said to him, I do will it be made clean. So he's moved with pity, yes, because of the man's pitiable condition, but he's also moved because of the faith of the man. And Jesus is moved with pity for all of us, because we're all in a pitiable condition, but we don't all open a space for him to do anything. Not everyone humbles himself or herself in faith like this. So it's a very beautiful example of how faith opens up a space for God to work. Now, it's not hard to imagine that anybody watching this scene might have seen it a little differently. First of all, that leper shouldn't be there in the first place, because he's not supposed to be near anyone. And he probably stinks, and he looks terrible, and it's just not the kind of person that you want to have around. And then he makes this dramatic display, bowing down, begging, falling at his feet before Jesus. You can imagine someone saying, come on, don't make a big display out of this. Maybe you can imagine it. I can imagine it, because that would probably be my reaction, at least on some level. I'm very quick to be suspicious of big public displays. I'm not saying it's a good thing, but it's not a bad thing either, because it's just my nature. As I was reflecting on this scene with the leper, I remembered my trip to Fatima. I was in Fatima 2 months ago, and the guy told us at some point, you know, go and look at the shrine. And so I was alone when I got there for the first time, even though I had traveled with 25 priests. But when I got to the shrine, we scattered all around. I don't know what happened to everybody else. But so I went to the big church, and then I went to the little chapel where Mary first appeared to the children. And around the chapel, there were some people on their knees, walking on their knees around the chapel. Of course, my first reaction was, oh, that's funny. That's a funny thing. That's kind of weird. Not negative. It's just unusual. You don't see people walking on their knees that often. And there weren't very many, just a few. And then I noticed there was even a little railing that about this high. You could never use it unless you were on your knees. And so you could hold yourself up by this little railing. Now, nobody was touching the railing. I suppose part of the penitential prayer is to sacrifice that advantage. So I never saw anybody touch the railing, but it was a nice touch. Only later did I realize that the path for the kneeling prayer is much, much longer. It's way, way up the hill. And there's a little archway, a little prayer, and then people start their kneeling prayer way up there, and they walk on their knees all the way down to this chapel, and they go around. And when I went to the bookstore or the gift shop of the shrine, they have pads, knee pads. You can buy knee pads so you can do this devotion. Now, what about this? Yes, it's weird, it's strange. You don't see people walking on their knees, but on another level, it's really beautiful. It's heartfelt prayer. It's people who are making an effort to present themselves to God and to the intercession of Our Lady of Fatima. There's something moving about it, and I saw people doing this, and I remember thinking, well, you know, I don't know if I would do that, but on the other hand, I joined the pilgrimage because it was an opportunity for me. Yes, I brought prayer intentions. I brought my own prayer intentions. I was praying for intentions of many people who asked me to pray for them. But I didn't go there with desperation, as if this pilgrimage was my last hope. You know, if I was unemployed and my children were hungry, or if my wife was dying of cancer or something, maybe I would go on my knees. I have an intention that would move me to make an even more desperate prayer, last-ditch effort to get help from God. Maybe so. I'm very happy for the pilgrimage, but I pray for intentions here. I don't have to go to Fatima to pray. Back last week, when the feast of the Jesus Nazareno was taking place, of course, millions of people go to Quiapo and go to the procession. Millions of people. The procession took 30 hours this year. 30 hours to get from Luneta to Quiapo. Now, it doesn't take 30 hours to get from Luneta to Quiapo. It takes about 20 minutes. Or it depends on if there's a big crowd, take a couple hours. But that's because Jesus is in no hurry to get to Quiapo. He's available. This is the devotion, right? He's available in the streets so people can encounter him. Anyway, one of the priests has posted a little message about this devotion. It was a long little meditation, actually, but it says something to this effect. If you think this devotion is excessive, or if you think that all that waiting is unreasonable, or if you think that pushing is unnecessary, well, maybe you have a privileged life. Maybe you don't have desperate need. Maybe you're not used to begging. Maybe you're not relying on a miracle just to survive. So don't judge other people who are reaching out to Jesus. I mean, I'm paraphrasing what this little message was. Don't judge other people. Maybe be grateful that you don't feel the need to spend hours waiting to touch the rope. And in that little meditation, he said, what about the woman with the hemorrhage for 12 years? And the way she pushed her way through the crowd just to touch the edge of Jesus' cloak. With faith and with desperation, she doesn't have anyone else to turn to but Jesus. That's something like the leper in this gospel. He doesn't have anyone else to turn to. There's no one can help him with leprosy. But if you want to help me, Jesus, you can do it. See the beauty of it? He's entirely poured out before the Lord. He completely opens himself to the power of God. That's prayer. That's great devotion. In a couple of days, we're going to be celebrating Santo Niño. And that's another beautiful devotion, another way that people can encounter Jesus. And as I've shared many times, my experience of the devotion isn't entirely positive, because I don't find it's necessarily touching Jesus. Like this idea of street dancing competition. There's nothing wrong with street dancing competition, but is that about Jesus or is it about me? Is it about me and who has the best costumes and who are the prettier girls and who's got the best dance moves? And it's all about the dancers. It's not about Jesus after a while. Now, I don't know where the line is drawn between cultural presentation and devotion. That's up to God. I even know, I can't judge it. But I certainly know there's a difference. And we should all know there's a difference between reaching out to God in prayer and expressing our faith in expressive ways. That's one thing, and that's a beautiful thing. It's another thing to make a big display of ourselves or to do a cultural presentation. That's fine, but that's not the same. That's not what this leper is doing. The leper is not making a display of himself. It's a dramatic display, but he's not doing it in order to impress anyone. He's doing it because his focus is on Jesus. His faith is on Jesus. That's faith, and that's devotion, and that's public expressions of devotion are all focused on the Lord, not on ourselves, on what anyone thinks of us. Those people walking in their prayer in the Shrine of Fatima, they don't care who's looking at them. In fact, they might feel a little bit embarrassed that people are looking at them. They do it anyway. See, that's why I think it's impressive. In today's first reading, the Israelites make a little display of their possession of the ark, and it backfires on them. Complete disaster, you know the story. They were defeated by the Philistines. They lost 4,000 soldiers. They regrouped and said, what happened here? How could we possibly lose? Why did the Lord allow us to lose this battle? And then they decide, well, let's get the ark. We'll get the ark and show them who's on our side. They bring the ark into the battle the next day, and it's even worse. They lose 30,000 soldiers, and they lose the ark, and the priests are killed. Well, something went wrong. What was it? I think this story is to tell us the difference between genuine faith, genuine making a space for God to work in our life, and being at the center ourselves. It's a big, big difference. Now, God is a warrior. It's true. There's plenty of stories in the Bible, especially the Old Testament, where God defeats the enemies of the Israelites, even if they have a smaller army, even if they have a few, God can win. In fact, the very first victory of God for the Israelites is when he defeated the Egyptians. Remember, the Egyptians with their hundreds of horses and chariots, and the Israelites were slaves, and they just walked out. They got chased by the full army of the Pharaoh. Who won the battle? God won the battle. He wiped out the whole army of Pharaoh. And there are many stories like this. So why didn't it happen this time in this selection from 1 Samuel chapter 4? Because they didn't open a space in their hearts of faith. They didn't even pray. Right? We don't hear anything about them turning to God. Lord, help us in the battle. Lord, take care of your people. They didn't repent. They didn't humble themselves. They took the ark, and they took the ark into the battle like, we'll show you, Philistines. We've got this great thing you don't have. You see the difference? The difference? They didn't go with faith. They didn't go with humble openness to the will of God. They didn't even ask God for help. As far as I can tell, when I read this passage, it says, they say to themselves, why has the Lord permitted us to be defeated today? Let us fetch the ark of the Lord from Shiloh, that it may go into battle among us and save us from the grasp of our enemies. It's almost like superstition. It's almost like a trust in a magical object, like an anting-anting. And people do that. They put their trust in some object, sometimes even a sacred object, statue of the Santo Niño or whatever. That's not faith. Superstition is not faith. The difference is whether we're open to God or not, whether we're willing to change or not. See, when it's superstition, or when it's focused on us, we decide how we want it to work, and we tell God what he should do. That's not necessarily faith. Okay, see the difference. And the beauty of the leper in the gospel, and the tragic failure of the Israelites in the first reading, sets up this contrast for us to ponder. I'm sure you have done things that people thought were unreasonable, that in your expressions of faith, you look weird to somebody. I hope so. In fact, I hope so. Because if you never look weird, if you never make space for God, that discounts what anyone is thinking about you, well, maybe you're not moved enough. I'm sure your families are saying, why do you go all the way to Las Vegas? You can pray in Naik. You can ponder the word in Naik. Why come here? Well, let them think what they want, but open a space for God, open a space for the word. It's beautiful, and it's inspiring to others. If people are willing to get on their knees and cry out to God, if people are willing to do like this leper, fall down and beg and open up a space for God in prayer, okay, that's the way to go. That's what we should all do. We're all lepers, we're all poor, we're all desperate, we all need God, we're all sinners. So this is the attitude of a humble sinner before God. Lord, if you want to help me, you can do it. We trust in you. Jesus, we trust in you. So that's, I think, the way to go, and not like the Israelites who are focused on themselves and on what they think they can make happen. No, we put our trust in Jesus. We put our faith in him.